Yeah, so just prepare to...
It'll be great.
It'll be perfect.
Y'all motherfuckers don't watch us play throughout the year, to tell you the truth. I'm gonna be real with you, and I don't care if I get fined.
That
train is off the track.
Who doesn't love the bouncy castle?
Hitler.
Just prepare to. Just prepare to be awash in unbeatable goodness.
Welcome, Pacers fans. You were listening to the Undebeatables, your Pacers podcast and member of Almighty Baller Radio. Today is April 15th, 2017. Coming from Indianapolis, Indiana, I'm your host, Joey Gafrida, the man behind the dials and season ticket holder. This show, we're discussing games against the Sixers and the Hawks, plus we're previewing all the first round playoff matchups. Before we get started, if you want to get in touch with us, you can do it here. We're on Twitter. We are at Undebeatables. We're on Facebook.com/TheUndebeatables. Our website is TheUndebeatables.com. And you can send us an email, shoutout@TheUndebeatables.com. Joining me are our three analysts, coast to coast, like buttered toast. First from the nation's capital, Washington, D.C., it's the doctor, Jason Triplett.
What is up, Pacers fans? What is up, Undebeatables? I'm going to do a quick self-serving shout-out. Well, I guess it's a shout-out to modern medicine. So listeners of the podcast may know I had knee surgery a few weeks ago, and this week I'm already off crutches, out of the brace, walking around like a normal human being,
wow.
Which Holy seems cow. Outrageous considering the things that were done to my knee. So good job, modern medicine.
Shout-out.
Yeah.
From Indianapolis, Indiana, he's our in-house bartender, mixing up the drinks and the crappy jingles, John Colson.
What is up, Pacer Nation? In lieu of a shout-out this week, I'm just going to play an old jingle.
Rejoice, Pacer Nation. It is at long last time for the NBA playoffs. And your Pacers road to the NBA Finals.
Listeners won't be able to tell this, but he bobs his head while it's going.
It's my hype machine. Playoffs, yeah. Baby. In a few hours.
That's right.
I think you should do, tomorrow's Easter. We're recording this on Saturday. And you remember that scene in The Simpsons when Bart slipped in Inagata DeVita for the organ player? You should switch in that music for like the celebration bells or whatever
church. At the end of the service. Oh, yeah. The Lord has risen. The Lord has risen indeed. Pacer playoff time. Yeah.
Boom, baby.
From Eugene, Oregon, out west, he's our enforcer, John Harper.
What is up, fellas? Just shout out to everybody who played fantasy basketball this year. It looks to me like Aaron Triplett is the winner of the Debatables League.
What? Or
Debatables
Shout League. Out, yeah. Sister.
Shout out.
Taking down the bartender and stopping his promotion.
Yeah.
To the end.
Yeah, because Connie Lee won the regular season, so,
yep,
the,
so
she like will Connie, also be going up to the big leagues.
So congratulations to Connie and Aaron on your promotion to the Undebeatables League.
The bartender continues to hold down the G League.
Joey's down there, too, keeping a company.
That's true.
Anti-congratulations to the chairman of the boards and the Lessex, who will be dropping down. They're being demoted from the... So two former champions dropping
That's right.
out of the...
How the mighty have fallen.
The Undebeatables League, yep. And congrats, Harper, on your championship.
Thank you. A lot of hard work.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Got to get you that rotating trophy.
I have it, actually.
He already has it.
Oh, you won last? Is your back-to-back champ?
Technically, I lost last year. Jason won.
No, we tied.
Well, we tied. But technically, you won the push last year because you had a better regular season record.
Oh, is that what it was?
Okay. Yes. But he graciously decided that we were co-champions. So
nice. Repeat champ.
My shout-out this week goes to listener Nico. We have a friendly wager we've been doing the last couple of years about which our respective teams do in the regular season. Of course, I pick the Pacers. He picks this. I think it's just a sad and recovering franchise, the Portland Trailblazers. Pacers finish out the season 42-40, the Blazers go to 40-42, I believe. It really came down to the last day of the season. Pacers had to win. Blazers locked up their spot, but I'm going to use that technicality to claim my victory.
point of clarification, the Blazers were 41-41.
That's right. 41-41.
That's why it did come down to the last.
Right. It was the last game of the season.
I've got a sneaky suspicion he doesn't want to double down on the first round of the playoffs.
Oh, no. And I wouldn't do that to him either. So, shout out. Send over your payment whenever you get a chance. We had two games to talk about this week, just pretty quickly here. The Pacers took on Philadelphia. They traveled there, won this one 120-111. They're sitting there, they're big name players anyway. So it was a little disappointing that they couldn't win by more than 9 in a game that they had to win to make the playoffs. Colson, why was it even that close?
I don't know. It was fine. I mean, we're on the road. It was a workman-like victory, right? Like, we go in and we shoot well. We share the ball. All our starters played well. Lance came in and gave us 6 points and 5 assists. And I don't know. I didn't feel bad about this. I wasn't nervous that it was only a 9-point game. We were pretty much in control the whole game. I'll take this. We needed this win to make the playoffs, and we did it.
Good Lord. We shot 57% in this one.
Yeah. Paul George looked great. Thaddeus Young looked great. We'll take it.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, Philadelphia has no talent, but they play hard, right? And they're going to play hard all the way throughout the season. So, and they got some timely contributions from former Pacer Alex Poitras, who went 5 of 7 from 3-point range. I don't think that was on the scouting report. So.
We should have known how to guard him. He was on our team for like 10 days.
Yeah, we shredded the scouting report long ago.
And Luwawu ripped us up.
I think maybe the most interesting thing from this game was a confrontation between Gerald Henderson and Paul George, mm-hmm. which led to both of them being removed from the game, sort of adding on to some previous stuff earlier. Harper, I thought, Gerald Henderson won that. You know, you trade Gerald Henderson for Paul George every day if you're the Sixers. I was disappointed that Paul George let him get him riled up and get tossed out of the game.
Yeah, I have no doubt that that was strategy on their part, and it worked sort of, but really the damage was done. And even without Paul George and maybe Miles Turner and Thaddeus Young, I mean, we probably could have beat these guys with our second team. So
A dirty play by Henderson, who always is kind of a dirty player. So on a drive to the basket, he just kind of throws his elbow right into Paul George's neck and knocks him down. I thought Paul responded relatively in control until they were running back down the court, and then Paul George throws him a forearm shiver in the back, which was what ended up being the second technical foul, getting him tossed out of the game.
Yeah. I mean, really, the only thing is, somebody's supposed to do that for him.
Right. Exactly.
Right.
Exactly.
We're supposed to have a guy for that, and we don't.
Yeah.
For sure.
So come on, Lavoie, step up your forearm shiver game.
Lavoie seems too nice.
Did PG end up getting fined for? He made some comments after the game about how the referees suck, as he always does. I assume he got fined for that.
He did. Yep.
He got another 15K or 25K or something like that.
Yeah. Okay.
And then second question, do technicals and flagrants carry over into the postseason? Because at some point you accumulate, if you accumulate enough technicals or flagrants, you get suspended for a game, right?
Correct. And they do start over in the playoffs.
They start
over. Exactly. I think in the past they maybe did not, but I think they have changed that.
Okay.
So I think it's after 16.
Like the age of 16?
16 technicals in the regular season, and it goes to 4 in the playoffs, so it starts over.
Yeah, before you're 16, you get juvie technicals.
Yes, exactly. Unless you can commit some that are, you can get adult technicals if depending on the kind of foul you commit.
It's up to the judge's discretion in a lot of cases.
Exactly. But it's really complicated. But anyway, Pacers win this one out like they had to. Next game, last game of the season, Wednesday, Pacers take on the Atlanta Hawks at home. It's fan appreciation night. It was really fun. We got a poster on the way out on the floor there after the game. They're signing shoes and balls and throwing them into the crowd and stuff like that. It was a national TV game, which was good. Pacers win this one 104-86 against Atlanta's B squad. You know, these guys had wrapped up. They had nothing to play for. Not too many big names out on the floor. You know what? Actually, kind of some big names, but some big names from 5 years ago out on the floor. we had a good time, but again, the PG took a little while to get going, but ended with 32 points. Miles Turner and Jeff Teague both had big games. They played well. And by the end, you know, I felt as I was watching the game, I felt like the Pacers weren't playing super well. I think they weren't clicking, but Atlanta really wasn't doing too much to get back in. You know, I kept being surprised by how big that the lead was. You know, I thought we were playing poorly, and I look up and we're still up 15 points. So, you know, I think that the players that they had out there, aren't going to do that.
Yeah, we were playing somewhat poorly for most of the game, and luckily we weren't playing a very talented Atlanta team. I thought that the Pacers really showed nerves in the first quarter.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
I thought they came out and looked really tight. This was a game where they had to win. If they win, they're in the playoffs. So it's basically, and if they lose, they were likely going to be out of the playoffs both Miami and Chicago were playing depleted opponents that night, teams that were resting players for the playoffs. Oh, wait, no, the Brooklyn Nets were resting players because I don't know why.
Does that make any sense?
It's part of their tank for the year that they don't have a draft pick.
Yeah, that doesn't make any sense at all. But I thought that regardless of that, they went into halftime and I think came out in the third quarter with a lot of force and really pushed the lead from 7 to almost 20. Couldn't quite get it over that 20 point mark, which allowed Atlanta to kind of scrap their way back into it. But then I thought Paul George really came out and put his foot on the throat of the team, and I think he scored like three or four straight baskets midway through the fourth quarter to really just put it out of reach. And solid win gets us in the playoffs.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, the story of this game and really the final night of the playoff or the final night of the regular season is how many teams just said we don't care at all and rested all 5 starters. It looks like the league may have something to say about this come rules committee in the off season. So keep an eye on that.
In the previous game, Joe, I said, I didn't have a problem beating Philly by 9, and we went out and did a workmanlike job. This game made me a little nervous, I got to say. I just didn't understand why we weren't blowing them out. I was working and I knew we had to have this game, but I also knew that Atlanta wasn't playing any of their players, so I assumed it was a win. I'd look up and we're only up, 6 or 7, and I'm going, what is happening? And you're right, nerves is probably, we look tight, and and I get it, but we need to find how to be loose moving into this playoffs.
There was some smattering of booze when Dunleavy hit the floor. To my wife's delight. So, yeah, like I wanted to say, it would have been nice to get a bigger win, just to ice it a little bit earlier, let some of the starters get a few minutes off. But they didn't. But it ended up towards the end of the game, Jason, I think when the Pacers were, you know, PG was hitting these shots, got the crowd all riled up. Lance and PG are out there, you know, getting the fans hyped up. Then they sit, you know, bench, or not, you know, they let PG rest when they've got that lead with about a minute and a half left. And the crowd goes nuts, so it's good to take that momentum into the playoffs because we're going. And Cleveland, one of those teams that sat the last night, which helped give them the number two seed, matching them up against the Indiana Pacers. We did it, guys. We made the playoffs.
We did it.
Oh, yeah. No doubter there for us. No problem.
We eked in the last game, and our reward is we get to play the defending champs.
Yeah.
Well, so I was thinking about this, Colson. You, a few weeks ago, when the Pacers had turned a corner, quote unquote,
yeah.
you were excited because you were like, oh, this team's going to be just like, well, I forget what year it was, but the team that closed out the season on a 6-game win streak to make the playoffs, and then that was the team that they made it to at least the second round, maybe
no, Eastern Conference Finals,
right?
Yeah.
And that looks like the storybook that is unfolding here, right?
There you go. LeBron Nate has McMillan. Never lost in the first round in his career.
Well, I don't know he's ever come up against the current coach of the month, Nate McMillan, in the first round of the playoffs.
Fair enough.
So congrats to Nate McMillan. They won out basically the end of the season to make the playoffs. Really disappointing Eric Spoelstra along the way, but we did it, guys. We're in. Now we get the LeBron and Co. PG claims this is the matchup he wanted, so
I like. Well, it's apparently the matchup that LeBron wanted too. I feel like they intentionally tank to get us. Is that what happened?
Probably. Well, the NBA needed some sort of marquee matchup in the Eastern Conference. So
I see.
They said, let's just get our two best, biggest stars.
Adam Silver
in the
went ahead and called LeBron and said,
"Yeah,
why don't you ahead, yeah, make this work? I like it."
Yeah, I said, LeBron, why don't you rest your players, including yourself,
and make sure to tell Tyronn Lue what you've decided to.
Right, exactly.
We got a message from our sponsor this week, Audible. You guys, I've been a big fan of Audible for many years. But for you listeners of the Undebeatables, Audible is offering a free audiobook download with a free 30-day trial to give you the opportunity to check out their service. You know, this week I was trying to think of a book to recommend, and I think all of us have all read a lot of Kurt Vonnegut's books, and there's a ton of them on Audible. And some of these actually have some pretty cool narrators. Slaughterhouse-Five is narrated by James Franco. Maybe we'll check that one out. And Breakfast of Champions, John Malkovich reads it. We'll give those a check out. So, but if you would like to do that, head over to audibletrial.com/almighty. Again, that's audibletrial.com/almighty. Gentlemen, we have the playoffs starting here today. We got 8 matchups we want to talk about. The first one, the 4-5 matchup, at number 4, LA Clippers, taking on the number 5, Utah Jazz. Jason, tell me about this one.
Well, this is Utah Jazz's first playoff appearance in several years. They, as everyone knows, acquired George Hill in the offseason, have hometown hero Gordon Hayward leading the charge. They have likely or candidate for Defensive Player of the Year, Rudy Gobert, holding down the paint. Pretty good depth on that team, too. And they play really good. They're a really well-coached team. And they're taking on the Clippers, who are the same team that we've been watching for the last decade, basically, right? And the Clippers somehow secured home court advantage in this, which to me is going to be the difference in this series. I think that the combination of the Jazz's inexperience on the playoff stage, including their coach, who's now coaching for the first time, versus the Clippers, who have been there and done that many, many a time. I give the edge to the Clippers just based on that. I think scheme-wise, basketball-wise, talent-wise, that the Jazz are probably a better team. But I'm one of these guys that really believes in playoff chops and that you need to be on that stage and experience that moment, basically. So I think it goes, I'm going Clippers in 7 is my pick for this one. But I'm cheering for the Jazz.
Mm-hmm. Colson, who you got?
So I'm a similar mind. You know, I think experience and home court matters in the playoffs. Utah has a great home court advantage. They play a slow pace and stingy defense, number one defense in the league, and that stuff matters in the playoffs. But Blake Griffin and Chris Paul both missed 20 games, and this team still won 50 games. I just think they're a little bit better. I chalk this up to the Clips winning in 6.
Clippers suck.
True.
So I'm taking the Jazz in 6.
Well, there you go.
Yeah.
That's a bold prediction.
I just do not believe in the Clippers in the postseason. I don't. I know they've been there and done that, but they lost last year
in the first round.
They haven't always, they haven't always been even performers in the postseason. So it kind of depends on which team shows up. I assume that CP3 will have some sort of injury by game 2 if he doesn't already. And the Jazz really are. They're built for the playoffs, right? I mean, they're big, long, stingy defensive team who just wants to lock you down. And this is the time of year when that really starts to matter. Can they win a coaching matchup or two? That's going to probably swing this series. But I think the Jazz are good enough to beat this team. So, and I needed some upsets. And I hate the Clippers.
There you go. You're picking who you want to root for.
All valid reasons. All valid reasons.
That's pretty bold, though. But I'm picking the same thing because, well, we talk about how playoff experience matters. Most of the Clippers' playoff experience has not been good. It's been epic meltdown after epic meltdown, underperforming. And this is the last season that these guys have a chance. You know, they're going to blow up this team. This is maybe not Chris Paul's last chance at this, but he's not getting any younger. If you didn't hear that before. So I think Utah is going to be able to pull this one out. And, George Hill, and they got Boris Diaw, guys that have real
Joe
actual.
Joe Johnson?
Yeah, that guy's.
Did you say Joe Johnson? Like that was a guy? Yeah.
No, he's got playoff experience.
But some of these guys actually have real deep stuff, and they're not going to have a Clipper-like meltdown.
Yeah.
Like the Clippers probably will. Next matchup, number 3 Houston Rockets versus the number 6 OKC Thunder. Colson, how many games are you picking the Thunder to take this in?
Yeah, boosting Rockets. This is a great, this is the must-see series of the first round, right? This is Westbrook versus Harden, the two potential MVP candidates. We won't know who wins the MVP till after this series is long over, but I think both of them want to beat each other. But I think Westbrook wants this, worse. I think he wants this so bad, and I think he's going to go nuts in this series. It comes down to Rockets' ability to hit threes versus OKC's stingy defense and whether they can slow the Rockets' offense down. Both have pretty good defenders to match the other guy. So they're going to put Andre Roberson on Harden, and Patrick Beverley's probably going to guard Westbrook. May slow those guys down a little bit. And if you're looking for your team to do other stuff, I kind of want to give the Rockets edge on the guys that can do a little bit more. However, I think Westbrook's will to win this thing. I think he's going to go bananas, and I pick the upset here. OKC wins in 6.
outrageous. Harper, who you got?
I do like the Rockets. I agree that this should be a really fun series. I mean, these guys are going to be going at each other. I really like that Clippers Jazz series, though, too. The Western Conference should be a fun first round. I don't think that the Thunder have a very good basketball team. And come playoff time, there's a lot that you can do to slow down one guy, which, as near as I can tell, is all you have to do against the Thunder. So
sure.
I took the Rockets in six, but I was pretty close to picking them in five. I don't know how competitive this actually is at the end of the day. It'll be fun.
Yeah, who else scores on OKC, right?
Yeah,
right.
Well, Harper, if you won't do it, I will. I'm going to take Houston in five. Basically, during the playoffs, you're playing one team, and your coaching staff is focusing only on one team's schemes, one team's players, and that's what they're trying to do. For the Houston coaching staff, they have to focus on Russell Westbrook because there's just not enough outside of there. Slow him down to like reasonable people numbers, and they don't have a team. They don't have a team that can win the playoffs. So I think Houston's going to do that. D'Antoni may end up winning Coach of the Year, and it's a good year for him. So I think the Beard and the rest of the Rockets are going to move on to the second round, maybe a little bit early. Mm-hmm. Jason,
yeah, I'm right there with you, Joey. For what it's worth, during the regular season, these teams played each other four times, and three of those games were decided by 3 points or less. So maybe it's going to be an exciting series. But the thing that I keep coming back to is the thing that you hit on, Colson, which is that the Thunder don't have another option. They don't have another way to play. And in the playoffs, a lot of it is chess match and matchups and adjusting to what the other team is doing. But so what Houston's going to do is they're going to take away Westbrook, and then how does Billy Donovan respond to that? And the problem with Russell Westbrook going for a triple-double this year is basically he developed zero confidence and zero abilities in the other guys around him. He made nobody around him better. And so when those guys are going to be relied upon in the playoffs, I have serious doubt that they're going to come through. Whereas the Rockets, I think, are a somewhat adaptable team. They have several different types of lineups that they can play and ways that they can play. And I just think they're going to outscore every game.
I mean, Oklahoma had a real impressive regular season, but they basically won 47 games by having the best guy on the court, right?
Right.
And that's not going to be abundantly clear in this one. I mean, James Harden had such a great season that flip a coin, right?
Right. Right.
All right. Moving on to the third matchup in the West, number two, San Antonio Spurs taking on the number seven Memphis Grizzlies. Boy, I like this one. I like this matchup a lot. I like both these teams, of course. I'm a big, big Spurs fan, but I like the way Memphis plays too. I think the Spurs are super good this year. 60 plus games again. MVP candidate, DPOY candidate, Kawhi Leonard. This is going to be his breakout season in the playoffs, I think. I think it may not be. It's not going to be easy. Memphis is, that's going to be a slow series regardless. I'm going to take the Spurs, but I think they're going to do it in six. I think they're going to do it on the road.
Well, it's the Spurs. It's just a matter of how many games it's going to take them, right? These teams have had good battles over the years in the playoffs. This is the first season that the Spurs are heading into the playoffs without Tim Duncan in 20 years. So how they respond to that is going to be somewhat interesting. I think they'll be fine. The infrastructure is great. Kawhi Leonard is awesome. He's pretty clutch. So I'm going to say, Memphis to me was a somewhat surprising team this year, but, so I'm going to say Spurs in five. I think they're too good.
Well, in keeping with that trend, I'll go one game lower. I got Spurs in four. Wow. Memphis is a good team, and, this is the kind of series that Jason would call a rock fight, right? I mean, these guys are going to be grinding it out. I don't even know if I want to watch this thing. It's going to be like watching paint dry at times. But the Spurs, they're going to win every coaching matchup every night.
Right.
They're going to have the best player on the floor. I think they're going to need something from LaMarcus Aldridge to take this thing in four, but I think that they'll get it.
Wow. Colson, can you top that?
Well, you mentioned Kawhi is the best player, but I think Conley and Gasol are the second and third best players in the series. Hmm. And I'm not, you know, the Spurs are the Spurs, and they play great basketball and they crank out wins during the regular season. But this, I'm not sure this is a perfect team. I mean, a lot of their important players are getting older. Or are one-way players. Kawhi's individual brilliance has been great, but I don't think this is the same San Antonio team that, you know, we saw the last few years. These teams have played each other a ton in the playoffs over the years, but outside of the huge upset in 2011 where the Memphis beat the Spurs, Memphis has never won a game against them in the playoffs outside of that one series. So I'm going to kind of split the difference here, even though I think Memphis is maybe going to be underrated in this series. They can't score enough. They're not going to have enough offense against the Spurs machine, and I'm going to take Spurs in six. But I think it's going to be competitive. I think they'll be good games, even if they're not high-scoring games.
I couldn't tell which team you were talking about there.
I know. I was splitting the difference. I want to give the Memphis some love in this series, but the Spurs are too much.
Yeah. Well, they're, I appreciate you pointing that interesting historical fact out and then ignoring it completely in your prediction. That's very Colson-like.
Do what I can.
And the Golden State Warriors taking on the Portland Trailblazers. Arbor, this one.
Oh, man, this is a tough draw for the Blazers, but it's what they deserve, right? I mean, it's how well they played in the regular season. The ESPN BPI index gives the Blazers less than a 1% chance to win this series.
That high, huh?
Oh, it seems man. Yeah. Man, that's rough. So I'd be calling for a sweep. If I was any of you guys, the Blazers played them tough last year. They really did. But the Warriors, they're an improved team. Kevin Durant is back, and they're not going to lose. I'm hoping Portland can take a game, so I'm picking them in five.
Yeah, I'm right with you, Harper. I really want Lillard and CJ to just catch fire one game get that the Rose Garden rocking. Is it still the Rose Garden?
It's the Moda Center.
Good home court, though. You know, get that place rocking and see if they can steal a game. I'm not confident that that's going to happen, so I'm going to go Warriors in four.
Yeah,
but I'm rooting for Warriors in five.
I'm rooting for Blazers in four, but apparently,
yeah, you know what I mean. I'm rooting for the Blazers to pull one out.
Yeah, I'm going to take the Warriors in 4-2. Harper, I'm going to root prefer to take a game or two. But you know, last year, the only reason I feel that the Blazers or the Warriors lost the game in the first round was because Steph Curry got hurt. Assuming he stays healthy, then they're just gonna blow this out of the water. Unfortunately, I like Lillard. I like the Spurs. I just love the Spurs, obviously. The Blazers. I like the Blazers
a
lot.
I like the Spurs to win this in three.
As I'm going to pick the Spurs in the Golden State-Portland matchup. But I think these two teams have great games. Like, they have great battles head-to-head. You know, their records aren't that close. But when they play each other, it's always exciting. Lillard against Lillard and McCollum, it's the two great guard matchups mm-hmm. In the conference. So it's going to be fun regardless.
You're not going to see four better guards on the court in this
right,
league.
Right, right. Correct.
It's a sweep. I mean, the Warriors are – they've won 67 games this year, and they didn't have Kevin Durant for 20 of those games.
Yeah.
Like, they're a juggernaut. I mean, the Blazers, you're right, last year, really entertaining series with the Warriors, pushed them, got some really great drama from Steph Curry hitting shots in the overtime against Portland, and but they're just too much this year, and they're focused, and they want to. They're on a mission to defend their title, and they're not going to mess around.
Reclaim their title.
Oh, sorry, reclaim their title, not defend their title. Yeah.
All right. So we get consensus in the one, the last two matchups, and then the two middle matchups. We, Colson, you were the outlier in the OKC matchup, and we're split on the 4-5 matchup.
Yeah.
Seems about right.
If the Rockets had drawn the Brooklyn Nets somehow, he would have picked Brooklyn to beat Houston. That's just how that works.
Even if Brooklyn was sitting players in the playoffs.
Got to rest them up. You never know what's going to happen.
If they somehow find themselves in the next round, they're like, oh, we don't want our guys to be tired.
Right.
Well, let's take a quick break. Again, I want to feature some music from a friend of the show, Scoot Dubs. This is an older one I really like. We've had this song on years ago, but it's called Enjoy the High. It really, it's a good time of year for that. It's warm. It's just a good, great, relaxing music, a good track. So I like that. And actually, I'm going to put a link to, he teaches pottery at the Indianapolis Arts Center. And if you want to take a class, you can check out his work on Instagram, too. He's got an Instagram account for his pottery stuff, too. He makes great stuff. So I'll put a link to that in the show notes, too. So check it out. Scoot Dubs, Enjoy the High.
Scoot Dubs.
Dubs.
Lean back and relax, let me sauce your soul down. I'm flowing in a bubble, lit off this fast sound. Pound rhythm into synergy, outer limits never limit me. My energy been rocking since the low end theory. Like, yes, yes, y'all in to the beat, don't stop. Body rock, pop lock, fresh kicks with new socks. Nothing better, sunny weather, put my drink on the rocks. Hell out for a minute, I know the block is hot. No need to act wild, cause we all got style. Some back in the day, others live for right now, wow. Mind power is the shower, rain down to the brainstem. Infect your limbs and bring this hem mayhem. Like up jumps the boogie to be free and let loose. Gonna take you on a ride with my galaxy boost. A whole sea's worth of worthy possibility. But tonight I wanna birth the line about you and me looking beautifully.
Fly away. You and me, yes, we alright. You and me, yes, we'll be.
Feeling I'm gonna heal ya, cause the vibe is right. And when it hits you, get the picture. Talking dynamite. The poor emotion keeps you open and it's out of sight. Don't be too shy now, baby, just sit back. Enjoy the high.
Enjoy the high. Yeah, I'm feeling it right now. The rain from the storm clouds, they drop on the pavement. I hope that I make it. Sitting outside, seems like time's wasted. I'm rocking the iPod, listening to Mos Def. 6 o'clock in the morning, most of y'all done overslept. It seems I'm in overdrive, I'm loving the vibe here. If only it was PM and sipping the light beer. Instead, I am right here and feeling the raindrops. Anticipating now, wondering will the rain stop. I feel like I'm floating, a breeze is coming through. The clouds are shifting and the sun is pouring through. My homie says, wait, shine your light on the world, man. The world can't feel it if you're using your soul, man. And yes, I'm a soul man and loving the vibe too. Surviving for life for mankind to shine through.
Give yourself heart and soul.
Fly away. You and me, yes, we alright. You and me, yes, we'll be fine. Life is good. Don't ask why, enjoy the high.
I got this feeling I'm gon' heal ya, cause the vibe is right. And when it hits you, get the picture. Talking dynamite. The potent potion keeps you open and it's out of sight. Don't be too shy now, baby, just sit back. Enjoy the high.
Now Now check the pattern of your thought as you space through my waves. Let yourself go, kick your feet back, your head knock. Stress is overrated, don't get caught, leave it alone. Life is too short to be afraid, just living late. Find your love and never let it go, but let it grow at its own pace. Learn face value is just a chase until it finds its own place. Stop and think, take time out to listen and find your own faith. It's easier said than done is what you say, but what is the point of life if you can't play? Enjoy yourself sometimes, wait, think about that. When was the last time that you really just sat back? Life these days is push-pull, heave to succeed. It's understandable that you can't breathe, but you can't help anyone until you help yourself. Take a moment and let go and you can find your wealth. Get away.
Fly away.
Back from the break. Thanks again to Scoot Dubs. And check out his pottery too. Check out the show notes. We got a link to all that stuff. We're going to keep going on our playoff predictions, moving on to the Eastern Conference. First round, the 4-5 matchup, Washington Wizards versus the Atlanta Hawks. JT, one of these teams is near and dear to you. Who you got?
Indeed, man. The Washington Wizards make their triumphant return to the playoffs, facing the Atlanta Hawks, who Pacers trounced to make the playoffs here. This series is not that exciting, I don't think. Neither of these teams are really championship contenders, I don't think. The Hawks are sort of a blah team. I don't even know what to think of them. The Wizards are interesting. I mean, John Wall is a playoff performer, I believe. Their coach and Scottie Brooks, I think, I really believe in. And the thing that the Wizards have going for them is their starting lineup has played more minutes than any other lineup in the NBA by something like 400 or 500 minutes or something like that.
Oh, wow.
So they are a very, very cohesive unit, which I think that type of continuity is great for you in the playoffs because rotations tighten, you know, guys play even, you know, the bench gets even shorter. So those guys are going to be on the floor together even longer. So I like the Wizards to win this series. I think they're not as honed a machine to sort of sweep this series by any means. I think it takes them 7 games because Atlanta is a very well-coached team too. I think that Atlanta shoots the 3 ball very well. They're going to win a couple games just sheerly by out-shooting the Wizards. But I think the Wizards are a better team, and home court advantage pulls them through in this series.
Okay. Coulson?
Yeah, the Hawks have been surprisingly good and resilient. I said maybe not good, but resilient over the last third of this season, dealing with some injuries from Millsap. They've gutted out some wins to get that 5th seed. But I'm not sure they're that good a team. I like the Wizards. I like the makeup of the team, the sort of the geometry of their team. And I think the backcourt of John Wall and Bradley Beal is just going to be too much. I know that Atlanta's really scrappy on D, but I think they can just – I think the Wizards can really wear them down with what that backcourt can do. So I agree with you. I'm not sure that the Wizards are – good enough to sweep this thing, but I think they're good enough to get this done in 5.
Okay. Harper?
I just don't trust the Hawks at all. I feel like in order for them to win games in the playoffs, they're going to have to ask a lot out of Schroeder. And I don't like that guy putting up much against John Wall's defense in this series.
Sure.
I think I'm with you, Jason. I kind of trust Scotty Brooks. And as good as Bud is, I think this is a pretty evenly matched, you know, thing from the coaching side. The Hawks historically over the last few seasons have been a great shooting team, but I don't think that they're as good as they were. I think the Wizards can sweep them. I'm going to take them up 4.
Mm-hmm.
Wow.
All right.
Wow. Nice.
Bold predictions.
Yeah, I don't know. I'd like to call for the upset, but I don't think I can do it. Schroeder, like you said, Harper, you know, this is his first playoff series, you know, as the starting point guard. And he's had just a pretty inconsistent season. And, you know, that matchup with John Wall that's John Wall's all day, every day.
Yeah, it's going to be awfully tough for him to get the better of John Wall.
You know, and I think, playoff Dwight Howard can be really fun when he's doing well. But I think that the Washington team is just stronger up and down. And they've been playing great. They had a bad start to the season. But besides that, they've been solid the last, most of the season. So,
sure.
You know, I think they're a team kind of like Miami, where if you throw out the beginning of their year, they're one of these, they're better than their record is. So, you know, I think they're going to do it. I'm just going back and forth between 5 and 6. But I think they'll probably do it in 5, just to bring it back home and do it there.
Lots of love for the Wizards. I like it.
Yeah. The other thing, too, you get in a close game with the Hawks, and you can likely get, their second best player off the court, right? Mm. Because Dwight Howard can't shoot free throws.
Very true. The 3-6 matchup, the Toronto Raptors versus the Milwaukee Bucks. Bucks back in the postseason. Colson, tell us a little about this series.
I'm excited about this series. Giannis Antetokounmpo is unguardable, and the Bucks have been 17-9 since the All-Star break. Chris Middleton coming back has really made them a dangerous team. But I really like the Raptors. I feel like the Raptors might be the way the Cavs are playing, maybe the best team in the East right now. Like, I think with Lowry, the way DeRozan is playing, their late season pickups of Serge Ibaka and PJ Tucker just really make this team make sense. I think they're playoff ready. I think they play defense. I think they hit shots. I think they have guys that can hit clutch shots. They can put Serge Ibaka, Damari Carroll, PJ Tucker on Giannis and make his life hard. They can throw a lot of guys at him. I think this goes longer than it should, maybe just because I think the Bucks are going to play tough defense and are going to be hard to guard on some level, just because the kind of season they've had. But I think the Raptors win this in 6. I think if the Raptors weren't this good, the Bucks might have an upset chance.
I agree with most of that, but I think the Bucks are built for the playoffs. I think their length and their defense make them really dangerous. I don't know that I trust Dwayne Casey in the playoffs. I definitely don't trust the Raptors in the playoffs. I think this is all but a coin flip to me. I'm taking the Raptors. I think that they'll need their home court advantage to do it, though. I think that this may be a 7-game series.
Seems fair.
Nice.
It may take them a little while to really get Lowry back up to speed, too. I mean, I agree with you that I think that they've gotten better in the second half of the season with the additions that they've made, but I don't trust them. It takes them a while to find their sea legs in the playoffs. That's just the Raptors.
Yeah. No, I think that's fair. I like both teams in this series. I think 7 games is – I would root for 7 games, actually. That'd be fun.
Yeah. It'd be a fun series.
Last time I saw the Bucks in the playoffs, the last thing I remember was Giannis Antetokounmpo spearing Mike Dunleavy. You guys remember that? It was
– No.
2 years – or 2015 – they got the Bulls, and Dunleavy had upset some of the Bucks.
Oh,
and I did not realize this was Antetokounmpo until recently. I just forgot it was him entirely. But he ran across the floor and just basically speared him as he was shooting a three-pointer. He was ejected and missed the next game because of that. But I think he's an older and wiser player. But honestly, I think that the Toronto Raptors, it may take them a little bit to get going, but I think they're going to win this in five. I don't think that the Bucks they don't have much experience, even though Antetokounmpo is fantastic and they've got a bunch of good, lanky players around him. I think Toronto, they've upgraded their team that they've had during the trades during the season, and I think they're going to be better. So I got Toronto, five games. JT?
Yeah, I'm weirdly excited about this series, mostly for playoff Giannis. I mean, this guy's clearly been the breakout star of the season. He is magical to watch. If you haven't had a chance to watch this kid play, tune in to at least a couple games in this series, because he's going to do some things that are just jaw-dropping in their level of athleticism. You know, the Bucks and the Raptors are two of the hotter teams after the All-Star break. Both teams are playing super well. The Bucks are getting Chris Middleton back, who's a proven scorer in this league. I give the edge to Toronto for two reasons. First, playoff chops from all their guys, and their bench. I think, you know, while rotation shortened in the playoffs, benches still play a role. Mm-hmm. Every Indiana Pacers fan will tell you that from last year's playoffs, and we saw Toronto's bench last year. It was super good, and it's even deeper this year than it was last year. They're going to get contributions from PJ Tucker, from Tupat, from
Corey Joseph,
you know, who got a lot of minutes down the stretch when Lowry was out and is really ready to blossom. So I like the Raptors in six. I think that Giannis can win two games by himself, but I think the Raptors are just better. They're a better basketball team.
All right. Colson, what was your prediction? Toronto?
Raptors in six, yeah.
So we're all 5-6-7 in Toronto. Third matchup, number one, Boston Celtics taking on the... How did the Bulls get in the playoffs? Huh, okay. Chicago Bulls, they get it on the last day as well. I think Boston's going to take this. I'm honestly a little surprised that Chicago was able to hold it together, and they may have made the playoffs as an FU to the management to get a worse draft pick. But I think Boston's certainly going to take this one. Jimmy Butler, Dwayne Wade. You know, we've all Pacer fans have seen playoff Dwayne Wade. This is the time of season he amps up his game a bit. So this is where he'll weirdly start hitting three-pointers, and he'll play a lot better. But
There's also a playoff Rondo.
There is a playoff Rondo. The last playoff Rondo I saw got benched for the rest of the playoffs. by Rick Carlisle, older playoff Rondo is amazing. So I think Boston's going to take this one in six. They are up and coming, and I think they're not quite as dominant as a number one seed normally is. But this group of guys and this coach don't have a ton of playoff experience, but they're still a very good team, and I think they're better enough than the Bulls that they're going to take this one down in six. JT, what you got?
I think the Celtics sweep this. I don't think the Bulls are a good basketball team, and I think that the Celtics are a really, really well-coached team, and they have the guys to throw at both Wade and Butler to keep them in check. So Avery Bradley, Marcus Smart, Jay Crowder, those types of guys. The Bulls are not a good shooting team. And in the playoffs, you often are forced to take jump shots, and I think that hurts them. And Isaiah Thomas is special. I think in the playoffs, lots of times it comes down to who has the best player in the last 5 minutes, and I think Isaiah Thomas is better at scoring on the offensive end than Jimmy Butler is, slightly. And so I like the Celtics in this in four.
No, I like that pick. Harper?
Yeah, I've also got Boston in four. This is a scrappy, another team that's just really built to play in the playoffs. They're scrappy defensively. I think that they're just going to own them on the glass. I mean, the Bulls are really going to miss Taj Gibson in this. In order for the Bulls to have any success, Jimmy Butler's just, he's going to have to be playing at an MVP level to take games, I think. And that's awfully tough to do when you got, you know, Boston's going to show him an awful lot of looks. And Jay Crowder's an excellent defender, so they got their work cut out. And, you know, Brad Stevens is a much better coach than Freddie Hoiberg right now.
Yeah,
so.
Yeah. This is a real chess versus checkers coaching matchup.
Yeah. And, I mean, the other thing is, you know, Boston, while they're not a great shooting team, they can stretch you out from the five spot without Horford. So I think they walk away with this.
Mr. Coulson.
Am I the only one that thinks that Boston is beatable? Like,
Yes.
I feel like, you know, this team doesn't have much experience. Yes, it's very well coached, but it doesn't have a lot of stars. You know, I like Horford, and Isaiah Thomas is absolutely electric. But, you know, they rely so much of their scoring, particularly in the fourth quarter, on, you know, a guy who's shorter than me. And I think in the playoffs, you can knock him around. You can throw him, you know, you can create some defensive schemes that slow him down. And I'm not sure who the rest of the guys on that team that are going to step up. Marcus Smart and Avery Bradley have had, you know, tough second half of the seasons. The only issue is that I don't think Chicago's the team to beat them. I think they're completely dysfunctional. I like their experience with Butler, Dwayne Wade, and Rondo. But they have this problem that they've had all year. All three of them can't play together and be successful. You know, the runs that they've gone on has been with, you know, Wade injured. And so even with all that experience, I think Boston's going to whoop up on them. If, for whatever reason, Hoiberg can figure out that Wade has to come off the bench, this series might turn. But I don't think he's got the balls to do that. And I think this thing is over in five. Boston wins in five. But I feel like if the Pacers had this had drawn the Celtics, like, there's a real chance to beat these guys. I think they're incredibly well coached, but I think they're a flawed team and they're pretty beatable.
Okay. Last matchup, the number two Cleveland Cavaliers start their title defense against the number seven Indiana Pacers. Harper, you were mentioning that the betting line is moving a little bit. Showing a little confidence in the Pacers. Tell me a little bit about this one.
Yeah, it's interesting. I mean, obviously the defending champs. Part of the reason I think that the BPI has them at about an 80% chance to win, they have not been playing well the past 3 weeks. And so I think that you look at the Cavs and you think, well, maybe this is a beatable team. They were installed as very heavy favorites. Lots of people saw some upside in betting on us. And I get that. I mean, I think we're absolutely better than our record. We've been great since we got Lance. And I think we are a tough draw. I think we're a very tough draw. This is a team that we all picked to win, you know, close to 50 games coming into the season. We've just really underperformed. There's no reason to think that we can't be that team. I mean, it's a brand new season now. The problem is, in as much as Paul George has been playing out of his mind, he still won't be the best player on the court. LeBron James is a beast, and he's not going to let his team lose in the first round of the playoffs. They'll find a way. They always seem to find the buckets when they need them. I unfortunately have to pick the Cavs. I'm hopeful that we can play them tough, but I think the best that I can see is us losing in six.
Boo.
I know.
Coulson, what you got?
Yeah, I think the Lance effect, this Pacers team is hot and it's confident. I think that the Cavs, you know, stumbled into the playoffs with four losses. They've since the All-Star break, they've been the 29th worst defense. I don't know, the 29th defense in the league, which ended them for 21st in the league at the end of the season, which would be the lowest defensive rating for a returning champion since the L.A. Lakers three-peat back in 2001 or two. And that team was able to flip a switch and just burn through the playoffs and won a third title. So there is a switch that can be flipped by returning champs. It depends. I think for me, it's interesting about how long that switch takes to be flipped. You know, the Cavs are going to have three of the top four players on the floor, but can we sneak one out, you know, in Cleveland? Can we jump on them, surprise them, because they're not ready for us? They're not going to be playing playoff defense yet. If that's the case, I think the series gets interesting. But LeBron's not going to let this series go. I think if we can steal one in the first two games, this goes six. But LeBron will lock it down later in the series. If we don't steal one of the first two, I think it goes five.
So you're
taking yes. five and six?
Okay.
I'm taking six. I'm predicting we steal one of the first two. I'm taking six.
I'm going to take either the Cavs. I think either the Cavs or the Pacers win in 4, 5, 6, or 7.
All right.
That's why you come to us for our expertise.
Well, these are my two favorite teams, and they're playing off against each other. Yeah, I think you're right. The Cavs are going to have three of the four best players on the floor. But Paul George, phenomenal. Thad Young, healthy. Jeff Teague, mostly healthy, playing for a contract. And we got the Lance effect going on. Against all rationality, I'm going to pick the Indiana Pacers.
Nice!
They're going to have to do it in six because they will not win on the road in game seven.
Okay. I like it. Good job. Which has shocked the world.
After that, by the way. Jason,
thanks for governing.
Jason, bring us back down to earth here.
Yeah, as we're talking about this game, I all of a sudden I'm just getting really, really nervous, excited for the playoffs. Which is shocking for me because, as you guys and listeners know, I was completely out on this team two weeks ago.
You'd given up.
Now I have the foolish optimism of a fanatic of this team. We're playing good ball now. And so the argument for the Pacers is the Pacers are playing good ball. They have a new spark. They have been defending well over the last quarter of the season, I would say. Mm-hmm. And the Cavs are a 500 basketball team, you could argue, basically. Over the last 46 games, I think, or something like that. They're
23 and 23 or something like that, yeah.
But we do not have a check mark at any position. Like, if you line up point guard, shooting guard, small forward, power forward, center, all of the advantages go to the Cavs. Kyrie Irving's better than Jeff Teague. Josh Smith, or what is his name?
J.R.
Smith is better than Monte Ellis. Way better than Monte Ellis. LeBron James is better than Paul George. Kevin Love is better than Thaddeus Young. And Tristan Thompson, one could argue, is better than Miles Turner, at least on the offensive glass, which the Pacers struggle at big time. I agree with you, Colton. It all comes down to games one and two. Can we steal game one? And I really think it's game one we need to steal. This Pacers team did it last year. You know, Paul George has the capability to take over a game and win a game. To me, it comes down to getting stops. We're going to be able to score against the Cavs. It's whether or not we can stop them on the defensive end. And I'm not convinced we can do that 4 out of 7 games by any means. I really want to pick. So here's what I'm going to do. I'm going to go conspiracy theory. The NBA loves long series, right? And none of these other matchups in the Eastern Conference are going to go very long. And this is their marquee matchup. They have two of their top 10 guys. Actually, they have four of the top 10 guys in the Eastern Conference playing in the series. So this goes 7. It comes down to a last-second shot by Paul George, on which he gets Tristan Thompson mauls Miles Turner on a screen, no foul called, and then LeBron James clearly hits Paul George on the elbow, no call. Cavs win the game by one. I'm taking Cavs in seven.
That's easily the most specific prediction I've ever
made. Bold.
Cavs in seven.
Wow.
And then you think...
sounds exciting.
Yeah, that sounds great. I can't wait for that to happen.
Can't wait to see that.
Well, this is what this team is going to do to me. They're going to suck me in all the way to the last minute of the game seven, and then it'll all fall apart.
Do you remember last year when Solomon Hill hit that three-pointer?
Oh. No, why right would you bring that up?
A tenth of a second.
We win that
buzzer.
Series if he hits that by 0.1 seconds.
Absolutely.
Ugh. Oh,
we also win that series if our bench is not negative 3,000.
Oh man!
Oh, I could love the playoffs.
Well, I'm getting ready for the playoffs. I've got the OC, the original Coors banquet beer. I'm drinking the little stubby. You guys, I like the little stubby.
Mm. Sure.
What are you guys drinking, Jason? I saw you drinking something out on the East Coast. What do you got there?
I'm drinking so across the street from me, there's a local brewery called Denizens, and they can some stuff, and so I'm drinking their Born Bohemian.
Okay.
It's a Czech-style Pilsner lager. It's tasty to my palate.
You think that might be...
I gotta come visit you. You got breweries across the street.
My door is always open.
Yes!
I don't think you should say that on the air.
That's right. I never keep it locked, my address is.
Colson, you drink anything this week?
Of course. It is game day. You know what I'm drinking. The Miller High Life.
Okay. Harper, it's still early morning for you.
Copious amounts of water.
That's the right play.
What did you drink last night, though, is the question.
All the things.
Everything but water, right?
Yep. But there was water in all that beer.
Somewhere at the bottom, right?
I was looking for it.
Oh, man.
All right, boys. Playoffs start here in an hour for us as we're recording this. Pacers at Cleveland. Game one. Look out for we're going to drop a mini pod. We're going to give you some post-game reactions that should be coming out either late tonight or Sunday morning. And I don't know when this pod is coming out, so it'll be before or after you listen to this pod. But keep an eye out for that. The Pacers play again Monday at Cleveland. And then Thursday, game at Bankers Life Fieldhouse, guys. You going, Joey? Did you get your tickets? Season ticket holder?
Don't have them yet, but I think we're going to go.
Nice.
I think I might go to that with you, okay. Joe. Keep me in mind.
And then game four would be, what is that, Sunday? 1 p.m., ABC.
Nice.
Finally, we get a playoff series that's not relegated to NBA TV.
Yeah, no kidding. Right.
All thanks to LeBron James.
That's right. We get premier spots all week.
So let's do it, Pacers. Let's do it. It's playoff time.
Sure.
Let's shock the world. Let's do it. This would blow up the internet if we won this series.
Sure.
Yeah, we need. The thing is, I think this is important for the future of the franchise too.
Yes.
To blow up the internet?
Yes. Indirectly.
Put that on my list.
Is that on your bucket list? Blow up the internet?
Well, whatever I can do to help the franchise. If I have to blow up the internet, I will.
It's probably important for humanity as well, right? Like.
Well, thank you for listening to our show. That's why we do this, and thanks for being here. You can find us on Twitter. We are at Undebeatables. We're on Facebook.com/TheUndebeatables. Our website, TheUndebeatables.com. There's a contact form there. You can send us a message. You can review us on iTunes. You can send us an email, shoutout@TheUndebeatables.com. We got some t-shirts for sale, too, if you want to look suave in a small or medium Undebeatable shirt.
And here's to Coach Bobby Sick-Leonard. I hope he's singing this song early fourth quarter today for the Pacers. Turn out the lights. The party's over.
He would never sing it for the other team, would he?
No, no. But I just wanted to clarify. If you're not like someone who listens to the radio show all the time, I want to make sure.
Okay.
I also don't see him singing that in game one.
Hey, when we're up 30 at the beginning of the fourth, he might sing it, you know?
I feel like that's not good luck for us. It's like ultimate jinx.
Yeah.
Maybe late fourth when we're up 30. How about that?
Yeah. There's like a LeBron multiplier in effect. You got to wait longer for him if he's on the floor.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. They did come back from 3-1 in the finals last year.
Did they?
Yeah. Huh. You don't remember that probably? Mm.
I do remember a block. I think it's called The Block.
The Block.
I watch it every once in a while. It's still amazing.
You thought it was just a saying to drink someone under the table. When Coles is around, that shit's literal.
That's legit.
Yeah.
We should do an ungoogleable about the origin of that phrase.
Yeah, I've definitely
tried one time, Coulson.
I've definitely also spit some game under a pool table at one point in my life.
Really? Why is that? How did that happen?
Was that over at my house?
No, I was in New Orleans and got pretty hammered at a bar. And
oh, like at a
bar? Under the pool table at a bar.
Wow. Yeah, yeah.
And in New Orleans, they didn't even cut them off.
Yeah, no, they didn't. That was the same bar where I went behind the bar to get change for the pool table.
You actually get service under the table. They have a waitress come by and check on you. Sir, can I get you another shot?
Yeah, table service behind the bar to get change.
Yeah, I was sitting at the end of the bar with my money out, waiting for quarters, and the bartender was ignoring me. So, and I was hammered, so I just went back behind the bar and said, "Hey, man, I just need quarters." And he was like, "I have a shotgun behind this bar." I'm like, "Man, I'm being cool.
I'm not looking for a shotgun. I just want quarters."
He's like, "You're lucky I'm not shooting you right now. Get the hell out behind my bar." And I was like, "All right, that's fair."
Yeah, I think you should have doubled down and said, like, "I'm not looking for a shotgun. I want quarters."